The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
WATD FM Marshfield. WATD Brockton.
Chris Atwood of The Alternative. I spoke with Richard Blade back in October about the audiobook version of World in My Eyes. It's a great read and a great listen. Now let's hear from Richard about World in My Eyes.
Hi, this is Chris Atwood of The Alternative. Tonight we're joined by Mr. Richard Blade, famous Richard Blade from K-Rock as well as First Wave on Sirius XM. Richard, welcome to the show.
Hey, Chris. It's always good to talk to you, my friend.
And likewise, really happy to hear that the audiobook of World in My Eyes came out just about 2 weeks ago on September 28th, almost a year to the date that the print version came out. And we wanted to touch base with you about that, if that's okay.
Please, I'd love to talk about it.
The book, and I'm assuming that the audio version as well, it's a fascinating firsthand account about the music, the people, and the times that shaped the new wave 80s from your perspective. Why the book and now the audiobook?
Well, normally you would try and release both at the same time. With me, what happened was, as I was starting to record the audiobook, I'm not in chapter one, so I didn't want to read chapter one. And I asked a friend of mine, John Taylor from Duran Duran, if he would read it. So he came to my home studio and he read chapter one. And after he finished, he'd, you know, seen some of the galleys on the book. And he said, I think I'm in another couple of chapters, aren't I? And I said, yeah. And he goes, could I read my own parts from the chapters? And I said, sure. And he read them. So when I was talking with him in the book, on the audio book, it's me actually talking with John and John answering me. And it gave me the idea to go to all of the artists that are in the book and get them to do their audio parts. So suddenly the project became a lot more involved and a lot longer because, you know, you have to get permission to do it and everything. But I ended up getting virtually everybody who's in the book. Depeche Mode, Duran Duran, Spandau Ballet, Berlin, Terry Nunn, OMD, Howard Jones, Adam Ant, Danny Elfman, everyone who's in the book. When you hear their voices, it's them talking.
That's incredible. And for me, as a huge Duran Duran fan, specifically as it relates to John Taylor, I used to imitate him when I was in high school. I'm anxious to get my hands on the audiobook and listen to it. It's 16 and a half hours. That's an incredible amount of time. But I'm sure, based on the sample that I heard on Amazon, the production value is pretty cool. It makes you want to keep on listening as opposed to putting it down, going to work. What was the whole process like? I mean, 16 and a half hours of an audiobook must have taken a very long time to record and do all the post-production on with the fun stuff that you've thrown into it.
It did, Chris. It took quite a while, but it was a real labor of love. And I actually included about what would be about 20 more pages of written book in the audiobook because there were things that I came across and I thought, I should have said this, I should have developed this. And so I put that into the audiobook, so there's more content in it. And as the artists came to record their part, I gave them what I'd written. And I said, look, this is what I recall, but please put it in your own words and change it to what you remember happening. And everyone did that. So it's not, for example, Simon Le Bon reading Richard Blade's words. It's Simon Le Bon saying what he remembers saying. So everything is the way it was in everyone's minds, you know, and I wanted it to be that way. You know, I'm not Shakespeare, so they didn't have to follow my exact words. I wanted it to be their words.
But you did go to Oxford and you're an English major, so you're close enough to Shakespeare.
There you go. I've been to Stratford-on-Avon a few times, so that's where the similarity ends.
You mentioned the people reading it. If there's a moment or two from the production value of this, what stands out for you as sort of a really memorable chapter? I'm kind of thinking it might be something related to Depeche Mode, because in the sample, you actually have some recording from when they were at an album event in Los Angeles in the early 80s. Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, they were at the Warehouse Record Store in March of 1990 for the release of Violator, which, of course, was their biggest album to date. You know, it entered the Billboard charts, the top 10, screamed up to number one. It was huge. And the anticipation for Depeche Mode, particularly 2 years after the Rose Bowl concert, was massive. And we knew there was going to be a big response. But when it turned out to be close to 20,000 people showed up for the in-store, it was ridiculous. At 17,500, the police called a tactical alert and brought in three units from throughout Southern California and air divisions and mounted police. It became a huge event, and for 10 minutes went very smoothly. And then people did the math in their head and realized if it was four people a minute getting through, it'd take at least 3.5 days for them to meet Depeche Mode. And they knew that wasn't going to happen. And so a a riot broke out. It was quite something.
And here's a sample of that event from the audiobook version of World in My Eyes by Richard Blade.
Depeche Mode arrived at 8:15 and entered unseen through the high-rise parking lot and the loading entrance behind the store. They had seen the helicopters above, both the police and the news choppers, and couldn't believe how huge the event had become. They were excited and they were nervous. Just before we opened the door, the word came through on the police scanner that the line of fans now stretched over 15 city blocks and every street in the area was being closed down and a secure perimeter established. I looked at the band and we all knew this could get out of control very quickly. I went on the radio and made a final plea to the fans.
We are about to open the doors here at the warehouse. Please remain calm and orderly and everyone will get to meet the band. I know many of the thousands waiting in line have a radio with them and are listening right now, so please spread the word. Depeche Mode have no time limit. They will stay as long as it takes to meet all of you and sign something for you. But please, do not push or shove or cause any trouble, because the police are here and we are told they will have zero tolerance for that.
I could see the security moving to the twin doors.
Here we go. We are opening the doors. Depeche Mode are here to meet the fans, so let's keep this mellow and all have a good time.
With those words, the doors were opened and the first of almost 20,000 fans who had been waiting for the night to fall to meet their heroes were ushered inside. As the devotees filtered through, I continued to do an interview with the guys from Depeche Mode, and they were blown away by the response and the turnout.
17,500 people is the word on the street. How do you feel about that?
I must admit, that is totally beyond our expectations, slightly.
We're very moved by it. I mean, we didn't expect this many people to turn up.
I heard a rumour that you thought there might only be like 30 people show up, like a Spinal Tap.
Yeah, we was hoping.
Have you rested all your hands? Are you ready for the signing, Martin?
I feel really great at the moment.
The first 10 minutes went perfectly. Security let in a steady stream of fans who were thrilled to be standing there with their favorite band and to get something signed. But we were now receiving message after message that more and more police were arriving outside, being brought in from all over the Southland to control the crowd. The band began to get concerned, and Dave announced this on the radio.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know what four divisions of police is out there, but it sounds like a lot of police, so if anyone's out there, just try and be calm, and we do as many people as we can, sign as many people's things as we can, and when we're told to go, we have to go.
Outside, the waiting fans started to do the math in their head. Four people a minute, 20,000 fans in line. That would take 5,000 minutes or more than 3.5 days for everyone to get through. That's when the pushing and the screaming
started.
And
are there other historical recordings from the K-Rock days that are added into this audiobook?
Yeah, from the Rose Bowl in 1988, Standout Ballet from 1995. One of my favorites, and I know it doesn't mean anything to the Americans, I opened for a huge DJ in England when I was just 19 years old, and he was bringing the BBC Radio 1 roadshow to my hometown in the south of England, and I, you know, grew up emulating this guy. He was, you know, one of my heroes, actually an American guy called Emperor Roscoe, and he had a jingle. He made a jingle saying, and Dick Shepherd's going to be opening for me, which is my real name, Richard Shepherd. And he found that actual that he'd made and sent it to me, and that is in the book.
Wow.
And that, you know, there's little moments like that which are quite something. And then right before I sent the audio book in, I was doing a very quick revision, and I realized I had my father's last phone call to me on my answering machine, and I included that. So many people, and again, if you haven't read the book, you don't understand how important it becomes to the reader, because my father was quite a major character in the book prior to the K-Rock years, and for helping me in the early days at K-Rock. A lot of people have said that that's one of the high points when suddenly they hear his voice after he's been talked about so much. I was thrilled to be able to get, you know, just about everything I wanted from everyone and put it into the book. I loved doing it. It was a lot of work, as you said, Chris, but it was so rewarding.
Again, we're chatting with Richard Blade from K-Rock, legendary K-Rock, as well as Sirius XM today on First Wave about his book, World in My Eyes, and brand new audiobook, which came out about 2 weeks ago. And just last week, it went to, as you would say, Top of the Pops, number one on Amazon's audiobook for artists, authors, and musicians. When you found that out, what type of reaction did you have?
Oh, I took a screenshot of it right away because it's unbelievable. You know, I mean, for me to be ahead of Beastie Boys and Tina Turner and Phil Collins and the Beatles and stuff like that, it's ridiculous. And I'm thrilled about it. It's not something blasé about my first book, and which is, you know, be received that well, blew my mind, you know. And at the same time as I did that, I just pulled up an email that I got yesterday, 5 o'clock, from someone called Paul Williams. I'm sure it's not Paul Williams, the composer. It's probably a different Paul Williams completely. But he wrote, "Richard, I'm currently enjoying the audio version of World in My Eyes. I saw it on Audible and saw there were so many people reading and giving you great reviews. I was a little fearful that it would become an audio drama with coconuts being hit together. Clock, clock, clock. For sound effect. However, I really enjoyed the authenticity of you having the other people read the part that pertained to them. You mentioned the book on the radio, and I got it right after that, and I have loved it. Thank you for sharing your life in the book." And all these emails that I've been getting, I save, you know, because one of these days I'm going to look back at them and just shake my head and go, wow, it was quite something, because I so appreciate it.
It does, and I think on a personal note for me, I've read the book twice, as you know. Janet's read it as well, and you signed the book for both of us, and we appreciate that. But truly on a personal note, since meeting you in person at the Lake Totally 80s Festival in Huntington Beach, to co-introducing Mark Allman with you at 80s Weekend Number 6 in Los Angeles, and then hanging out a few weeks ago with you backstage at the Lost 80s live show.
Yeah, Vegas, baby.
Yeah, that was pretty hot. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. You've really inspired me to become an even better DJ, but also a better person and a keeper, a true keeper of this 80s alternative flame. And I thank you for that. One, in meeting you and getting to know you, and also getting to know you through your book. It's really been inspirational for me and for hundreds of thousands, if not other millions of people that are out there who have read the book and will also go and hopefully get the audiobook.
Well, thank you so much. You know, and it helped me as well. I think writing it, you know, made me a better person. I always knew I was lucky to have such great parents, but in writing the book, that just reinforced that knowledge and made me think, you know, I've got to be even a little better in my personal life, you know, and more tolerant and more open to ideas, because nobody is perfect. We can all use a little shaping up from time to time. And so for me to relive those moments, because putting my life down into words was reliving it. I mean, I cried, I laughed, I had to get up and take a breath and walk away from the screen when I was typing it. It was great to relive it, and it just reinforced that we're all human and we're all here on one journey. And we all have the same outcome, so you've got to enjoy it while you're here.
And speaking of that journey, you, when you were a boy, put together a top 10 list, which you have as a image in the book, and you've pretty much achieved all those 10 items, which is incredible, as well as inspirational. What's next for Richard Blade?
The next two things I want to do is I want to learn another language and be fluent in it, not just, you know, hunt and peck for words in your brain when you're trying to answer someone. So it's probably going to be Spanish. And my wife and I are probably going to spend quite a bit of time down in Mexico. And as part of that, my second ambition is to become a better surfer. So right now I'm just a splasher and I can catch a few waves, but I want to be a good surfer. I think we're going to spend a lot more time down in Mexico with the Mexican people, who I find really, really nice, not bad hombres at all.
From a famous DJ to becoming fluent in Spanish to a surfboard rider back here at home in the Boston area. I mean, I know you were in New York City not too far from us last weekend. I know, and we've talked about this, that my listeners, who are also your fans, would welcome a book signing out here at some point. Any chance that we can perhaps make that happen next year?
I would love to. I mean, Boston is such a beautiful, beautiful city. I mean, the whole harbor, the water, front, and it has, you know, the world's best clam chowder. So, I mean, I would be honored to do that.
That would be a lot of fun, and we would put the weight of the radio station, my station, back behind you. Is there anything you want that I haven't covered about the audiobook you'd like to say to the listeners as well as your fans?
Well, one of the things about the audiobook, which Audible helps me in reading the instructions of how to do the audiobook, because I wanted to do it myself. I work with Sam, but I'm a DJ. If I can't do a book myself, an audiobook, then I'm in the wrong business. And I was amazed at how good the quality sounded. And I've had a lot of, I've been sitting in my driveway now for 40 minutes because I didn't want to get out and stop the book. And that just makes me laugh, because that's exactly what I wanted people to do. I didn't want them to be able to pause it easily. I wanted the book to be able to suck them in so they could go on that journey with me. Because just like I couldn't pause my own life, I wanted them to really feel caught up in it.
So Richard Blade and your audiobook of World in My Eyes is responsible for keeping hundreds of thousands of people late to getting to work in the morning, I would imagine.
Absolutely. We had Depeche Mode, Duran Duran, Spandau, Billy Idol, and so many others to thank for it. Thank you, Billy.
All worthwhile to be late for work. Well, Richard, as always, great to have you here on the show on The Alternative. Big success for the audiobook. And is there a chance that we might see a film version of this down the road?
Honestly, I'm working on that, and I'm pushing for it. But the thing about Hollywood is you don't believe anything until they've actually even wrapped the film. Because everyone talks a great fight in Hollywood. I say it in the book a few times in my experiences. Nobody ever says no to you. They say, hey, Chris, that's really great, man. Or love having you, and then you walk out the room and you never hear from them again.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of people talking about it, but until it happens, I don't believe a word.
It's great having you on the show. We look forward to hearing from you again and also bumping into you at another festival in another part of the world at some point.
Anytime, Chris. You and Janet are all welcome, and I just enjoy hanging with you. You're such a talent, so always great being on The Alternative with you.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
That forges their union is a substance known only to one. To the clown it is known as dominion. It's a secret that he'll give to none. The drug which gives the clown power means his circus can never be stopped, and his dream can go on unhindered till the last human being has dropped.
Please let us be. I've known you.
95.9 WATD, 8:25 Eastern Time here on the East Coast of the U.S. of A., just south of Boston. It's where Marshfield is located, where this radio station is located. That was Circus of Death by the band The Human League. Great band. Saw them this past May in, where was it? Huntington Beach, California. That's a really cool festival. If you have a chance to go out there, believe it's May 11th or 12th, 2019, pretty much going. Hopefully some of you can get out there and maybe we'll work on, I can't get airfare for everybody, but you know, I can try somehow to get a pair of tickets and you get your own way out there. Let me know if that works for you. Just go to 80s Alternative Radio Facebook page, give a thumbs up, and we'll see what we can do. We'll chat with the promoters about that. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Richard Blade about his book, World in My Eyes, which is a fascinating read, audiobook as well. 16 and a half hours with bands such as Berlin, who also read on the book, and it really just brings you back to the moment, especially some of those outtakes and other things that he's been able to uncover over the years. Thank you to Richard for that interview. We'll see what happens in 2019. I know this is one of his favorite bands, mine as well. And I think his wife, Krista, this is one of her favorite songs. So if you're listening out there in Los Angeles, California, Richard and Krista, this one's for you, 95.9 ATD.
You're listening to The Alternative with Chris Atwood on 95.9 WATD.
WATD out of Boston, MA, just up the road from here. It's the Pixies. Their monkey, they went to heaven. Yeah, so that's sad. No doubt. 781-837-4900. I got a long show ahead here. It's until 11 o'clock. Looking forward to hearing from some of you to find out what you're going to be doing. See, New Year's Eve, and also what your resolutions are. Hopefully they're positive, that we can look at things in a much more positive light. It's been a challenging 2018 on some respects, and in others it's been pretty popular and kind of a nice thing too. So it always comes back to the music. And speaking of music, for those of you who are listening out in San Francisco, check this lineup out on, let's see, December 29th, 8 p.m. until about 2 a.m. on the 30th. Place called The Great Northern, which is at Utah Street in San Francisco. It's only, I think, about $28 to get in. But listen to the lineup of the bands. One band from the Boston area, Somerville to be exact, Missing Persons. Annabella from Bow Wow Wow, Gene Loves Jezebel with Michael Aston, and also Trans X. That's all out in San Francisco in a couple of days. Actually, tomorrow night. You know, if I could fly out on a plane tonight, I would, but I can't. But check that out if you're out there in the San Francisco area. Speaking of the San Francisco area, Jane Wheedlin kind of lives out there. I'm not going to say exactly where. Really nice person. Fun Boy 3. Our lips are sealed. 95.9 ATD.
Shield, nothing must be revealed. ready to jump into the mosh pit with this punk classic on 95.9 WATD.
Hey, oh,
in this let's go. It's not my intention to make things plain. I'm looking through mirrors to catch the reflection that can't be mine. I'm losing control now, I just have to slow down a thought or two. I can't feel the future and I'm not even certain that there is a past. I believe in the workers' evolution and I believe in the final solution. Ship of things to come, and I believe I'm not the only one. Yes, I believe in. I believe in. When I poison my system, I tear those and twist them into shapes. I'm reaching my idea, and I haven't an idea of what to do. I'm painting by numbers, but can't find the colors that fill you in. Even knowing if I'm coming or going, if to end or begin. I believe in the immaculate conception, and I believe in the resurrection, and I believe in. I believe in. I believe in the elixir of youth, and I believe in the absolute truth. Yes, I believe in. I believe in. To offer resistance to the flow of time. Everything is and that is why it is will be the line. I believe in perpetual motion and I believe in perfect devotion. I believe in. I believe in. I believe in the things I never had and I believe in my mom and my dad.
What I believe in. There is no love in this world.
95.9 WATD. I Believe by the band The Buzzcocks, fronted by Mr. Peter Shelley. Sadly, who passed away about a month ago here. Great stuff by that band, and also Pete Shelley on his own, Homo Sapiens. Yeah, great stuff there. And lots, we just lost too many people in 2018, but that's what happens, unfortunately, as, you know, time marches forward. And so one of my messages for tonight is, if there's something you want to do, if there's somebody you want to call, if you haven't done all that you should have done by now, just go out and do it. Make that call. Make it happen. Life is too short. To quote my good friend, Mr. Peter Black, who had the show here, The Blues Show, it's later than you think. Let that sink in. Moving on to something more happy. These next three songs are for, by the way, Pete Shelley, The Buzzcocks. That album was courtesy of this next person I'm going to mention, Mars Records in Plymouth. Great guy. He knows so much about this genre of music, and we'll look forward to having him up here at some point in early 2019. So Mars Man, if you're listening, these next three songs are for you and your station and your vinyl store in Plymouth, right down there in the center. 95.9 WATD.